this Shabbos is Parshas Mishpatim, but it's also Shabbos Mevarchim for the month of Adar, and therefore it's called Shabbos Shkolim, which means we're going to read a Parsha in the Torah, and we'll go through some of the Psukim. This Parsha is in the 30th chapter of Shmos, Parshas Ki Tisa. That's going to be the maftir. And first, the first part of our discussion today is, why do we read that parasha, the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Siman Tav Pei, Tav Reish Pei Hei, codifies this, and he says we read the Haftorah, the maftir, for Parshas Shkolim, which is Machzis HaShekel in Parshas Ki Tisa, and is based on a Mishnah in Masechta Megillah, on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalios B'Shabbos, when the month of Adar begins, Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbos, Korin Parsha Shkolim. And then the Mishnah says, but Chalios B'Toch HaShabbos, if on the other hand, Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on a weekday, not on Shabbos, the Makdimim L'Sha'avar. In other words, when Rosh Chodesh falls on one day in the middle of the week, we read Parsha Shkolim L'Sha'avar, meaning on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. So the connection here of Parsha Shkolim, the reading of Parsha Shkolim, is really a connection to Rosh Chodesh Adar. And if Shabbos is not Rosh Chodesh Adar, because Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a weekday, then we read Parsha Shkolim on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. The Gemara tries to explain why. And the Gemara says that Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam, back in the time of the Mikdash, there was something called the Hachraza. And they announced for the entire public to know that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is the month right before Nisan, everyone should bring a Machzis HaShekel, so that during the month of Adar, they would collect a Machzis HaShekel from the Tzibur. When did they have to complete this collection? When did they have to gather together all these Machzis HaShekels? That was for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the month was really to prepare for the collection of... In other words, the month of Adar was a month that was dedicated to collecting the Machzis HaShekel, but It really could have been done all on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It didn't have to be done as early as Rosh Chodesh Adar, but the process was a very tedious process until finally they collected the Machzis HaShekel from everyone. And now that the Trumas HaLishkah is complete on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they made a shift. And all the Karbonos that are purchased on behalf of a Karbon Tzibur would be purchased from the new year's Shkolim. And the new year begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, how do we know that the new year for Karbanos Tzibur begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So that's a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. There it says, Zos Olas Chodesh Bechod Shel Chodshei Hashana. And Chazal say, Omra Torah Chadesh, the heavy karma mi truma chadasha. So we need a new truma, a new collection. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Zayin has a gzeirah shava that with regard to Chodesh Nisan, the Torah says in Parshas Bo Rishon Hu Lechodshei Hashanah, and here in Parshas Pinchas it says Zos Oles Chodesh Bechodsho. So we make an equation between the two, and we conclude based on this Gzeirah Shavah that the month of Nisan is the month for the new Shkolim. Now when were the Shkolim collected? As we said before, a month before. Did it really take a full month to collect all the Shkolim? So the Gemara quotes a sugya in Pesachim Adav Vav, Sholim V'darshim Bilchas Achag Konim L'chag Shloshim Yom, meaning we have halacha that we prepare for the holiday 1 month in advance. So therefore, we are machriz on the Shkolim on Aleph B'Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, And on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we complete the collection of all the Maksa Shekel. Now we have enough of a truma to purchase the Karbanos Tzibur from this year's picking, from this year's collection. So therefore the Mishnah says, Bi'echad bi'adar mashmiyam al hashkolim. And we are going to remember what went on at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And on Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar, we're going to make a proclamation that it's time to bring the Maksa Shekel. As if we can bring the Maksa. We cannot, because we don't have the Mikdash, but we're making believe as if we have the Mikdash. And if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on a weekday, then we'll be Machriz on the Maksa Shekel on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, Adar, I meant to say. And the Mishnah Berurah over there in Siman Tav Reish Pei Hey writes, based on the Levush, Anu Mishalmim Parim Sfaseinu. We have a principle called Mishalmim Parim Sfaseinu. And when we read the Parshin Kitisa of Shkolim, then it's as if, as Hoshea says, Mishalmim Parim Sfaseinu, it's as if we were makriv all the Karbanos Tzibur by bringing the Maksa Shekel. Is Nishalim Osa Beritzui Divreis Fasayim with our recitation, which means here the Kriya of the Parsha of Shkolim. It's considered as if we fulfilled the mitzvah of Shkolim and we brought the Maksa Shekel and the Korbanos Tzibur that were purchased from the Maksa Shekel back in the time of the Mikdash. Now we are replicating that, and that's called the Shalmei Parim Sfaseinu. However, there's something strange going on over here, because when you read the Parsha in Kitisa of the Shkolim, you get the impression that the Maksas HaShekel was collected only once and for a very specific purpose that has nothing to do with the Karbanos Tzibur. Meaning, although we're reading the Parsha ostensibly because of the Chiv to bring Maksas HaShekel for the Karbanos Tzibur, yet it doesn't seem at the face of it to be anything in the Parsha that in any way resembles collecting the Maksas HaShekel for the purpose of Karbanos Tzibur. Let's read the Parsha. Ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael l'fgudeihem. We're involved in a census. V'nasnu ish kofer nafsho l'Hashem. How do we count the people of Israel? We don't count them by heads, because lo yebahem negef b'fkod osam, but rather zeh yitnu kol overal p'kudim maksis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. The Torah specifies, and this is what we're going to read this Shabbos, that the purpose of the Maksa Shekel was to allow counting the people, taking the census. And the Torah goes ahead and says that we have to collect this Maksa Shekel from everyone. And the Maksa Shekel is l'chapir al nafshosam. It's a kapara for the neshama, for the nefashos. In other words, to avoid counting the people by head, which would endanger them. Not only that, but what was the money that was collected in the context of this sphere of the census of the Bnei Yisrael? What was the money done? What was money done? What was it earmarked for? So, if you take a look in Shmos Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chafei, the Pasuk says, V'kesef p'kudei ha'edah, the money that was collected for p'kudim in order to count B'nai Yisrael, was used latzekes as adnei ha'kodesh as adnei ha'parochas. It was clearly used for the building of the Mishkan. So we're going to read the parsha of Maksas HaShekel on Rosh Chodesh Adar for the Neshama Parim Sfaseinu of giving a Maksa Shekel for the purpose of the Karbanos Tzibur. And we're going to read a parsha that describes the collection of the Maksa Shekel as a Kapar L'Nafshol Seyem with the Pekudim, and the money was earmarked for the building of the Mishkan, for the Adonim. So this Kasha is asked by the Gemara itself. The Gemara Megillah Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis asks this Kasha and gives the following answer, that in the parsha that we're going to read of Maksas HaShekel, The phrase Trumas Hashem appears three times. And this alludes to the fact that there were three different classifications, three different types of Trumos. The first time it says Truma Hashem is in the opening part of the parasha. It says Machzis HaShekel Truma Hashem. And this was the purpose of this Machzis HaShekel collection was to build the Mishkan, the Adonim of the Mishkan. But then the Torah again repeats Truma Hashem, and it says Kol Over Al Pkudim Miben Shloshim Miben Esrim Shana Umala Yitain Truma Hashem. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah that the second time it says Trumas Hashem, that was a different Truma, and that was not a Machzis HaShekel, but it was in a Dava. It's called Nidvas Libo, which means that what, and this we're going to see in Parshas Truma, that whatever a person wants to donate, that's what he'll donate. So the first one, which is part of the counting of Bnei Yisrael, that was specifically a Machzis HaShekel, and it was earmarked for the Adonim of the Mishkan. Now that's a discussion unto itself, what's the significance of the Adonim, but that's not for now. The second time it says Truma Hashem, that's the Truma of the beginning of Parshas Truma, where Kol Nediv Libo would come and forward and contribute whatever he could and whatever he wanted to. And then there's a third time in the parasha where it says Trumas Hashem. It says Ha'oshir lo yarba v'adal lo yamit mimachzis HaShekel loseis es Trumas Hashem l'chapar al nafsho seichem. Here again it speaks about a Machzis HaShekel, and the Gemara says that this third Trumas Hashem was specifically earmarked for the Karbanos Tzibur. And when it says in the Pasuk Trumas Hashem lechaper al nafshal seichem, this has nothing to do with the senses per se, but the kapara of the Karban Tzibur on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So now when we hear the parsha on Shabbos and we want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Neshalma Parmas Maseidu as if we brought a contribution for the Karbanos HaTzibur, we should have specific intention when we hear the Truma Hashem the third time in the parasha, when it says, this is where we have to perk up our ears. You know, some people doze off during Kriyas HaTorah. Other people read Sfarim during Kriyas HaTorah. So at what point in the Kriyas HaTorah should you perk up your ears? When you get to the third Truma Hashem, when it says, Ha'ashir lo yarveh ve'adal lo yamit. So as soon as you hear the word Ashir, it has nothing to do with Donald Trump, by the way, but as soon as you hear the word Ashir, you should perk up your ears, dream about being an Ashir. And then it says lo yamit mimachzis HaShekel lo seisis Trumas Hashem. That's the Truma Hashem that we're talking about. That's the Neshalma Parmas Vaseinu. That's why we're reading the parasha on Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar, in order to fulfill the Neshalma Parmas Vaseinu through the Kriyas Parshas Ki Sisa of bringing the Machzis HaShekel for the Karbanos HaTzibur. Okay, that's Roman numeral number one in our discussion. But now we go on to some other issue here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to bring a Machzis HaShekel for the purpose of Karbanos HaTzibur. And not only that, the Torah prohibits the Asher from bringing more than a Machzis HaShekel, the poor person from giving less than a Machzis HaShekel. What's this all about? Why is Machzis HaShekel, and exactly Machzis HaShekel, chosen by the Torah? What significant message can we derive from the Machzis HaShekel for the purpose of Karbanos HaTzibur? And furthermore, Rashi says on this same pasuk, that again, the pasuk that we have to have kavana on, he says, Herolomat Be'er Shal Eish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu a coin that's up in flames, Mishkala, and its weight is Machzis HaShekel, V'Amar Lo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe, Kazei Yitnu. What's the significance of this Matbea Shal Eish? The Medrash Tanchuma has a long presentation here about this Matbea Shal Eish. Amar Rabbi Meir, Kemin matbeah shel eish hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei hakavod. Where was this matbeah shel eish? It was under the kisei hakavod ve'erol Moshe v'yamalo zeyitnu because zeyitnu. So what's this tremendous visual aid? You know, today we talk about audio visual. It's not enough to this, that. You have to see it in front of your eyes. You have to see this matbeah of Maksa Shekel. And not only that, it's got to be a matbeah shel eish. And more than that, it has to come from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. What's this all about? What's the significance of this matbeah shel eish? And, you know, if we want to ask the question in a very naive way, we could say that, you know, it's very easy to find a Maksas HaShekel out there in the, you know, the shuk, in the currency. And now we're talking about, no, a matbeah shel eish. It had the weight of a Maksas HaShekel, and it's coming from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Okay. To begin our analysis, we go back to Parshas Mishpatim, but this time the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And that's going to allow us to connect Mishpatim to Shkolim, to Maksas HaShekel. The Torah says in Perikov Dalit, and we've spoken many times about this parasha, Vayishlach es Narei B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Olos Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim Lashem Parim. There were three types of korbanos that were brought. This is all in the context of Kabbalah HaTorah. And when they slaughtered these animals, Vayikach Moshe collects the dam in what's called agonos. These are receptacles. And he dips his hand into the dam, and he sprinkles half the dam on the Mizbeach, and half the dam is designated for each and every one of the Jewish community. And then he reads the Sefer HaBris, Vayikra B'yozne Ha'am, Kosher, Dibur Hashem Nasa V'nishma. And we have here the dam, which is half on the Mizbeach and half on B'nai Yisrael. Again, keep in mind the number 50%, the half. Or as my British friends here in the ELC say, half, right? And Rashi says, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam Mi Chilko. You know, how did Moshe Rabbeinu achieve his goal of splitting the dam into two equal halves? And it says here that Malach ba v'chilko. Again, we're seeing the divine intervention here. The Malach comes and splits it. It seems that it's so important, it's so significant to get two equal halves that we need the Malach Hashem to come down and achieve this. And now he quotes the Avodas Yisrael, who says the following, that we have a Chazal in many places, especially in the Zohar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael Kaviyachol are like Chasim V'Kal. The bris between God and His people is like a marriage ceremony. And this is all based on a pasuk right before Matan Torah, where it says in Parshas Yisro, Vayotze Moshe Sa'am L'Kras HaLukim in HaMachna V'Yisyatzvu B'Tachtis HaHor. Rashi says, what's Vayisyatzvu B'Tachtis HaHor? He says that Moshe takes the people of Israel L'Kras HaChosan. Rashi says, Magid Shashchina Yotza L'Krosam K'Chosan HaYotzi L'Kras Kala. Meaning, Klal Yisrael, says Rashi, is the Kala, and the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chosan. And now Moshe Rabbeinu takes the people of Israel out of the Machne, Likras HaElokim, means, says Rashi, Likras HaChosan. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo, Umesos Chosan Al Kal Yosis Olayach Elokoy. So we have now here at Matan Torah a Kaviyachal marriage relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, between the Chosan and the Kal. The Zohar goes even further. And the Zohar, in terms of the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describes a Zohar without a Nekeva as being Palga de Gufa. It's almost as if the Chas of the Kala become, as the Pasuk says in Bereshis, V'hoyu l'basar echa, they become one. And the Chas and Kala now are two halves of one whole. And so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show B'nai Yisrael His love, his intense love for the people. So therefore, he's mitzamtzem himself. He, so to speak, restricts or constricts himself to a palga de gufa, as if he's half a body. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets the tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to split the dam. Half the dam is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, which is kaviyachol, a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and half the dam is going to be sprinkled on the people of Israel. The Malach is going to split the dam exactly shoveh b'shoveh, because each member of this marriage relationship is a chatzi, is a palga de gufa, is a half a guf, until they get together. So that's why the dam is split into two halves. And in the Chassidish Sfarim, the literature, it says that the splitting of the dam into two halves, half on the Mizbeach and half on Klal Yisrael, half Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu and half for Klal Yisrael, is to show and demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael are Chasa V'Kala, to the point to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers himself, in the absence of that relationship, as a Machzis Gufa, as a Palga de Gufa. And the Apter Rav, the Oiv Yisrael, calls it Machzis HaShekel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel makes himself into a Machzis HaShekel. What does that mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers himself a Machzis HaShekel? A Machzis HaShekel is not worth that much. A shekel is considered something of significance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers himself like a Machzis HaShekel Klapi Yisrael. They represent the people of Israel, the other Machzis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking from Klal Yisrael, Machzis HaShekel Trumo Hashem, bring me the other half of the Machzis, which means enter together with me into a perfect unity, a relationship of Chasa V'Kala. And then we have a full shekel. We have Machzis and another Machzis. And therefore he writes, Yidnu kol echad v'echad Yisrael Machzis shekel HaKodesh, V'yischazku oz b'nei Yisrael as atzvam b'yeshahi lamod al nafsham sheyiru l'chaber es ha'ohel lios echad. And if they become one in the ohel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not chas v'sholom a palga de gufa, but by giving a machzis shekel, they are now being mechaber themselves to the Shechina, and it becomes a complete guf. It becomes a chas v'kala marriage relationship.
You wouldn't say it takes away from the other concept of machzis shekel, that we're not, where Bnei Yisrael isn't, we understand that.
You have to complete each other.
That's right.
As a Jew, you're only half.
That wouldn't take away from that?
Well, we're going to see as we go along that we're going to try to integrate that idea as well. But right now, the Machzis HaShekel represents Klal Yisrael without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Klal Yisrael. That's the Machzis. Together they form one entity. You're right. It also is going to, this is the Rabbeinu Bachai, that we're going to shed a light on the relationship between one Jew and another. But right now, it's really the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is brought out, again, I don't know, I'm not sure if in your part of the woods they recite the Yotzos for Parshas Shkolim. Do they do it? What you do?
As long as we can finish by 8 o'clock, it's okay.
No, we don't say Yotzos.
Boy, if you finish by 8 o'clock, that's even earlier than Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim started at about 8 o'clock, no?
Yeah. No,
I don't know how you can finish by 8 o'clock.
I'm talking for Bishop Rishon.
All right. So what does it say there? What does the Python say over there? He says, Ar panecha elenu adon nosei v'shekel esa b'beis nachon v'nisa. Again, the language is tough as nails here. But the key phrase that we want to focus our attention on is v'shekel esa. Now, what does it mean, I will carry or raise up a shekel? After all, I'm only chayv to give a machzis a shekel. But the answer is that my Machzis HaShekel is in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should gain, or should enter into a relationship where he, with his great anova, represents a palga de gufa, and he's asking Klal Yisrael to bring a maksa shekel truma Hashem, so that this maksa shekel of ours of Klal Yisrael now becomes integrated with the maksa shekel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create a shekel shalem, a complete shekel. And that's what it means.
Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's donation?
Correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's donation is the chatzi shekel. Our donation is the other chatzi shekel.
Well, no, I don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a chatzi shekel. Where do you give a chatzi shekel?
Well, the chatzi shekel is the symbol of the Shekhinah coming out to greet the Kala. Right? Uh-huh. The chatzi shekel is not a physical chatzi shekel. We'll see about the Eish in a minute. But the chatzi shekel is the symbolism that I am incomplete. I am only a chatzi shekel. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we have to enter into this marriage relation, because in the meantime, I'm incomplete. Now he says the following. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, and the Yetzer Hara is getting more and more powerful, and it's trying to prevent Bnei Yisrael and each member thereof from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We now are going to raise a prayer on our lips. Ar panecha aleinu adon noseh. We're asking Hashem to shine His divine light on us and give us that chizuk, give us that power that we can connect with Him. And if we get that power, we're able to connect with Him, then shekel esa. We're going to be able to be mashlim, complete the two chatzoyim and make them into one shekel. However, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself at Matan Torah, and He taught us about this unbelievable connection, this chibur between Bnei Yisrael as a marriage relationship, and everyone is as if He gives a matzah shekel, which becomes a full shekel. And therefore, at the time of the Matan Torah, there was a Zrikas Adam, half on the Mizbeach representing Kaviyachol, and half on Klal Yisrael. He says, Ma ra al kochel chazi keshenifla zel yidei sheyitrom kol etan b'chol shonu shona machtes ha-shekel. He says that, okay, that experience, that one-time marriage relationship at the time of Matan Torah, okay, that's fine. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us that every year throughout Jewish history, we have to bring a machtes ha-shekel. Kol shana shana. What is that? And the answer is that that's the Karban Tzibur. The Karban Tzibur of Klal Yisrael represents the Dam HaKarban that was Nizrak al Kol Yisrael of Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. Meaning, and every time we bring a Karban Tzibur, it's another marriage relationship, another unity that's coming to fruition, and that's why every year we need to give a Matzis Hashem. Okay, now we get to part three. This is the part that I wanted to share with you. There's a famous Gemara in Erevin, we've discussed it on many occasions. It's a Pele Vasugya, and that's the question of Noach Lo Liyadim Shlo Nivra. Would it have been better that man wasn't created? This was a debate between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai that went on for 2.5 years. One opinion was, we don't know who held what, that it would have been better had we not been created. The other says, no, it was great that we created. And at the end of the 2.5 year debate, Nimnu v'gamru, they actually counted, they took a head count, they came to a final conclusion. We have to try not to get depressed about it, it's very pessimistic. Noach lo liyadim shelo nivra, yosim ishenivra. And then the Gemara adds a musa shmuz at the end. The achshav shenivra, now that we've already been born, yefash beish b'maisav. And this is a pella. What does it mean? Achshav shenivra, yefash beish b'maisav. How does that connect to the nimru v'gomru? But a more fundamental question is, why doesn't the Gemara tell us Achshav Shenivra Yasov B'Torah Uvemitzvus? What's this Yifash Meish B'Masov? This has to give us a clue as to what this whole debate is all about. The Marsha says, what does it mean Nimnu V'Gamru? Nimnu V'Gamru is a phrase that's uniquely and exclusively dedicated to a decision of a verdict, a horas bezdin. Here there's no horas bezdin. They have a nice philosophical issue here and a debate about it, but what's nimnu v'gomru? Says the Marsha, again, I'm not exactly sure why this took 2.5 years, but nimnu v'gomru means they started counting the mitzvahs. An interesting pshat of the Marsha. First they counted the mitzvahs lo saseh, and then the mitzvahs saseh. They counted the mitzvahs lo saseh, and it came up to 365. They counted the mitzvahs saseh, and it came up to 248. Now, man is now on the balance here. He's going to be created. Again, he has the opportunity as a living creature to fulfill 248 mitzvahs aseh, but at the same time, he's got 365 opportunities to violate a los aseh. So the los asehs are much more weighty on the scale. And therefore, it's much easier for him to be punished for the violation of any of 365 than to be rewarded for any of the 268. And therefore, had man not been created at all, although it's true, undeniably, that he would not have had an option or an opportunity to fulfill any of the 248, and therefore to achieve schar for those, but the other side of the coin is that he wouldn't have had the possibility of violating any of the 365. And therefore, nimnu v'gomru, they came to the conclusion after counting the mitzvah seh and mitzvah lo saseh, that it would have been better for man not to be born. Noach lo liyodim shelo nivra, because the chances of his suffering punishment is that much greater than his getting schar. If he hadn't been born at all, then the fact that there are more lo sases and more opportunities to violate them would be totally irrelevant. But now we have to ask the following question. And this is based on not only the Arizal, but the Ramchal and many others, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world lehetiv, that God is tov, and He wants to give and bestow goodness. In the language of the Arizal, Kisha'ola b'rtzono yisbarach shmo livra sa'ola k'dei lehetiv libruav. And now you're telling me that noach lo liyodim shelo nivra, when God is the good God and He wanted to create us. This is the most difficult problem, meaning the Marsha maybe explains why it's not Leon Shlo Nivra because of the increased possibilities of violating the Torah. But why then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us when the goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Lahativ Lehativ Libruah? If it's bad, then why would He create us? Okay. So let's put this question on the side, and again we're going to come back Ibrahim Hashem to our original question about the Machzis HaShekel. And now we want to study a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos talks about the Chassidim Rishonim. So imagine, Chassidim Rishonim spent 9 hours a day in Tefillah. Why? Each one of the three Tefillos was Shoim Shachas and Mispalim Shachas. They would prepare themselves for an hour, then they would daven for an hour, v'chozim v'shoim shachas. Another hour after the tefillah. So the question is, I can understand preparing for tefillah, but, right, in order to fulfill k'dei shichavim libo l'avinim shmaim, but why would they need an extra hour after the tefillah? And the answer he suggests, based on the Lablina Rav, who says that, again, quoting also the Belzer Rebbe, apparently this was a common theme amongst Chassidish Rebbes, and it all goes back to Rabbi Uri, okay, he was very, very much connected to the Belzers. Anyway, leaving that all out, the names are not so important for me, but the idea is what's critical. It says the following. In Yishtabach, which is the last bracha that closes the Psukim in Zimra, it says, HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. Now there's a double language here, which seems to be superfluous. Why does it have to say Shirei Zimra? He could have said HaBocher B'Shirim, HaBocher B'Zimra. And all these Hasidic Rebbes came up with the same idea, or maybe one borrowed it from the other, I don't know. And What is Shirei Zimra? What does that phrase Shirei Zimra mean? Ish Yisrael Hayorei V'Charid L'Dvar Hashem Achreish Yispalel V'Yomer Shiros V'Yisrof Tznei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Ose Cheshben HaNefesh. What a person does after he finishes tefillah is really paradigmic of every experience of Avodas Hashem, not just tefillah, every mitzvah. He comes down from a lofty high. You know, his first initial response or reaction is going to be, wow, I just did a great mitzvah. I just davened for an hour. It was great. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. A human being has to admit that he's not perfect. And when he analyzes his tefillah, which took place for an hour before, and asks himself, did he have the proper awe and fear and trembling? Did he have the proper kavana? Koroi lifnei melech malchi amlochim? He realizes that he fell short. He has a shtokikus bechol livo. This is what we have to underline here. He has a tremendous thirst and a desire in his heart that he wishes he could go over his tefillah a second time and do it better this way. He wishes he could recite the shiros v'tishpachos in a more perfect way. And that ishtokagus, that longing, those gaguim, come from a lev nishbar, from a broken heart. And those gaguim are more important and more significant in the eyes of Almighty than the greatest shiros v'tishpachos that a person could recite. The gaguim are pure. They come from a lev nishbar, from a broken heart. And they are absolutely genuine. And when the Gemara tells us in Masechta Kedushim, Machshava Tova Mitzar Fala Maisa, that even if I didn't do it the right way, but I had a Machshava Tova, it means that if a person feels that he wanted to do the mitzvah, he did not live up to the standards and the demands of the mitzvah, then that's considered in the eyes of Hashem as if he recited all the shiras v'tishpachos with the ultimate shlemus, with the absolute perfection. This is what it means, habocher b'shirei zimra. Now we have to understand what the word shirei means. The word shirei, which if you write it all out is shirim, that's shin yud resh yud mem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires and chooses shirei zimra. Shirei, you have to write it with an extra yud. What does it mean? Instead of reading it shirim with one yud, shin yud resh, you read it as shirayim with two yuds. Well, actually, I made a mistake. Not the first yud doubles, the second yud doubles, right? So instead of reading it shir rim, you read it shirayim shel zimra. What's shirayim shel zimra? Shirayim are the part that got left out. The leftovers, as we'd call it. That's the part of the song and the prayer that was not experienced and not implemented before. There's a shtokikus after hatfilah. After I've recited all these beautiful songs from Psukim and Zimra, now I declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wish that I had davened and sung the shirayim, meaning that part that I didn't succeed. And that's the most pure and genuine bakasha that we have. In other words, what happens in that hour after tefillah of the Chassidim Rishonim? What are they thinking about? What are they contemplating? They're contemplating the previous hour of tefillah and trying to find and uncover those parts where they weren't mispalel with the proper kavana, with the proper Yerushalayim. And that creates a lev nishbar bekirbam. They feel that they weren't focused on their prayers, neither intellectually nor emotionally, on the highest level. And they have a tremendous ishtokikus. Oh, if only I could do a better job. If only I could perfect my tefillah. This is the cheshbon hanefesh of 1 hour after tefillah that expresses the ishtokikus of habocher, and God chooses the shirayim of the zimra. Not the zimra itself, but the shirayim of the zimra. The part of the zimra that was not done properly, but with a lev nishbar, the person desires more than anything is, if only I could have achieved this perfect tefillah. And on the top left column, he quotes the language of the Kozhna Magid, and he says, ki achar kol pam shana mamlichma HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleinu, tzrichma aliyos kmo besula sh'achshav lo asinu klum. We have to have a sense that we didn't really accomplish. It wasn't sincere. It wasn't a profound Kabbalah Salmat Hashmayim. And we have to feel like this is the first time in our lives that we were commanded to be Makabal Ol Malcha Shamayim. This was our first opportunity, and we didn't do it properly. And this is what the word Eheya means in Lashon Asid, meaning I want to look towards the future and hope and pray that next time I can do it better. Now, if this is so critical, this Bocher B'Shirayim Shel Zimra, in the case of Tefillah, then it's equally significant with regard to the other mitzvahs HaTorah. When a person fulfills a mitzvah, he immediately needs to do a Cheshbon HaNefesh and admit that he did not do the mitzvah properly. His heart is broken inside of him because he did not fulfill the mitzvah the way he should have, the way he could have. This ishtokakus with all his lev, a craving and a longing, halavai, I wish if only I could have another opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvahs in shlemus, to do this mitzvah better and perfect it. And because of this ishtokakus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he fulfilled the mitzvah. That's called makshava tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa, if he fulfilled the mitzvah on the highest level. And therefore, when a person completes the Leil HaSeder after he does the Haggadah, we get to Nirtza. And it says that when you say Nirtza, you should write L'Shem Yichud, and L'Shem Yichud means that I wish I could dedicate all of my kochos and all of my energies and all of my emotion to express and fulfill the mitzvahs of this night, whether the mitzvahs d'orais, the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, the mitzvahs sipit yisutrayim, and matz, and karpas, and mora, and afikomen, and aul, and everything. I didn't do it right. I wish I could do it right. That's the nirtza part of the Haggadah. Or, for example, he says, whenever you have a series of mitzvahs, and you try to fulfill them, and you realize with a lev nishbar, with a pure and dedicated, honest heart, that I'm bitter about the fact that I could have done it with more Kedusha, with more Tahara, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzarev Machshava L'maisa. It's considered in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if all these mitzvahs were fulfilled L'shem Shlemus. And therefore, if that be the case, let's go back to the Gemara in Erevin that we started with. Nimnu V'gamru Noach Lo Li'odim Shelo Nivra. What it means is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us for our good, lehetiv, even though the Lota says, as the Marsha pointed out, are that much greater in number than the Aseis. And what does that mean? Every Jew should think and contemplate after his Kiyum HaMitzvah that he could have done the mitzvah in a more perfect way, b'shlemus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider that machshava as a maisa, ki'ilu kiyem es ha-mitzvah v'tachlis u'b'shlemus. So it comes out now that every mitzvah is really a double mitzvah. On the one hand, it's a mitzvah, but now, since he has a lev nishbar, and he thinks about doing the mitzvah again, and he only wishes he could, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machshav that kimaisa, it's as if he doubled the mitzvah. And if we have 248 mitzvahs, we multiply them by two. And in that sense, we have more mitzvahs in the essay department than the 365 mitzvahs in the losesed department. And therefore, we understand, that if a person actually implements them, this is the message of today's drasha here, lisbonen, that he should think after the kiyum HaMitzvah, nach lo shenivra, that now that he could do the mitzvah in the perfect way by coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his shtokikus, with the Lev Nishbar, now it's noach lo l'nivra. Now it makes sense that he'll get more schar for the ribui mitzvah sase than for the ribui mitzvah lo sase. And therefore, nimnu v'gamru noach lo liyodim shlo nivra yotzev isha nivra, as the Marsha says, because there are more lo sases than essays. And therefore, it's more likely that he'll be mafsid, he'll be punished for the omission and the non-fulfillment of, or the violation of the losa says. Come along chachamim, they say, v'achshav shenivra, yifashpesh b'masav. What does it mean, yifashpesh b'masav? He should investigate the ma'isa mitzvah, each one after it's fulfilled, and he should realize and admit that he didn't fulfill it in his perfect way. He could have done it better in a perfection in Shleimus. And with that machshava, with that cheshbon ha-nefesh that follows the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider it as if he was mekayim the mitzvah itself again. And the mela, it's noach lo shenivra. So it's really a fascinating progress or progression here, sequence. If you ask me, well, what's going to happen if I'm born? The answer is, the chances are they'll be hefsid. But now that I'm born, I can make it into a tov. I can make it into a good proposition. It was all worth it. It was good. Why? Because I am going to take that mitzvah and double it. I'm going to try to do the best I can. I'm not going to be laid back and lackadaisical about it. But after I fulfill the mitzvah, I'm going to investigate and I'm going to declare I could have done a better job. And now it's as if I did the mitzvah all over again. And with this in mind, we begin to understand the unity that we spoke about between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one is called a machtzis, and the truma of the machtzis ha-shekel is going to be completed as if it's a complete shekel. Let's add Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam says in Mishlei, Im tevakshenu ke kesev u ke matmonu techapsena, oz tovin yiras Hashem v'das alukim timtza. What is this mashal that he gives to tevakshenu ke kesev? It's as if you have a desire, a bikush for money. And the answer is, Chazal tell us in Koheles Rabba, ein odom yotzim in olam v'chatzi tavosa v'yodo, ele'iyis le'mea boilam evad, Masayim is like Tartimeim Balumevad Arbama. Person has a mana, he would like to have twice that amount. He has 200 mana, then he wants twice that amount, 400 mana. What is Shlomo Mel gaining by this mashal? And he's telling us that when we seek out Torah and mitzvahs, Tevakshenu kikesef, desire it like kesef, meaning you should never be satiated, you should never get to the point where you say, no, I did the mitzvah. And Partik and Asik, ich bin Potter, I did what I had to do. No, the mitzvah has to generate within us a shtokikus for more and more. That meaning, after we fulfill the mitzvah we fall, now we make a cheshbon nefesh. Oh, if only I could do the mitzvah in a better way. If only I could continue with that mitzvah or have it again and do it and achieve the tachlis hashlemus. That's the machshava toiva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mitzarif to maisa. That's the mashal that Shlomo says to Vakshenu ki kesef. That whenever I'm being mekayim the mitzvah, my tshuka for the kiyum mitzvah should be like kesef, that even though I got 100, I want 200. And even if I got 200, I want 400. That's the bikush for kesef. And oz tovin yiras Hashem v'das alukim timtza. Because of this ishtokakus, when a person makes that cheshbim, and he says, I want more, and I want another opportunity, and more, and more, I didn't succeed, I didn't reach shleimus, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a second mitzvah for that. That means that I've achieved Das Elokim. Now I understand what Yiras Hashem is all about. Ashrei kol chokhel tashlumei keifa, we say in the Zmiris of Baruch Hillel Elyon and Shabbos. What does it mean, chokhel tashlumei keifa? It means that besides doing the mitzvah, in this case Shabbos, I have a shtokakus to do a better job on my fulfillment of Shabbos. I want kefel. I want another opportunity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that desire for another opportunity to be as if I implemented that opportunity. And therefore, when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Achas diber Elokim, shtayim zu shamati, ki oz Elokim, ulecha Hashem chesed, ki atot tishalim liish ki maseyu. What does it mean, Achas diber Elokim? And Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about the kiyum of all the mitzvahs. But he only spoke about the kiyum of the mitzvahs one time. But shtayim zu shamati, I understood that a person has to mekayim each mitzvah twice. And how? Because following the implementation of the mitzvah on the first round, he has a cheshbon nefesh, and he determines and he confesses that he wishes only if he could do it b'shleimus, and that machshava gives him oz lelokim, that's an oz, and he gets a second time around, that's l'cha shema chesed, that's the great chesed Hashem, that he considers our ishtokagus, our cheshbon nefesh, as if we did the mitzvah a second time, is ki'ilu, the machshav is ki'ilu asas ha-maisa. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses throughout all the generations of Knesset Yisrael to bring the machzis ha-shekel. That machzis ha-shekel represents that intimate, close kesher between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That matbeh of kesef represents the idea of doubling. I start with a half a shekel, but I end up with a full shekel, as we saw in the piyut for Shabbos Shkolim. It means that there's no difference between an Ashir and an Ani. Every single person has to bring exactly a Machzis HaShekel, because that Machzis HaShekel symbolizes the Tikvak Shenu Kikesef. That half of a shekel means I want a full shekel. How do I achieve that full shekel? Because in the context of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, that love relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if your Machzis HaShekel really represents another mitzvah, a desire for the second Machzis HaShekel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to consider as if with that close relationship, in the context of that relationship, you have fulfilled a full shekel. And therefore, let's go back to that question about the Matbeah Shel Esh. We asked, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel it necessary to take a matbeah shel esh mitachas kisei hakovod, as the Tanchuma said, zeyitnu, kazeyitnu. The matbeah shel esh always represents the passion of a person, the shtokakus. Here it represents the shtokus of Klal Yisrael. They're going to bring that matbeah shel esh. They understood that in the context of their fulfillment of Hashem's will in the Maaseh HaMitzvahs, it's only Machzis HaShekel. All they can do is bring a Machzis HaShekel. They don't have the ability to bring the full shekel. And therefore, what's engendered is a Hishtokikus, an absolute craving to fulfill the mitzvah with more Shleimus. And that Hishtokikus is like the Eish itself, the Eish under the Kisei HaKovod. Chazal say, Gidola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKovod. When a person makes a Cheshbon HaNefesh, when he's sincere, it's as if he entered into the close relationship of Kisei HaKovod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Machzis HaShekel of Esh, of passion, of Ishtokukus, of longing, of desire, from under the Kisei HaKovod, to show that with our tshuva, without our desire, with our desire of Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can fulfill the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, not with a Machzis HaShekel, but as if we had brought a second Machzis HaShekel. And all this is considered Truma Lashem. Ze Yitnu Kol Over Al Pkudim Machzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. The Gemara says in Masechet Bechoros, Umana Shel Kodesh Kaful Haya. It means that if the person understands in a deep, profound way that his Maaseh Mitzvah is only a Machzis HaShekel, but he has a Shtokakus to be Mekayim the Mitzvah B'Shleimus, then he zocha that his Machzis HaShekel will be considered Shekel HaKodesh Kaful. Hashem will be Mashlim. He'll add the other Machzis HaShekel. And together with our Machzis HaShekel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Machshiv, our Hishtokagus, for Shleimus of the Mitzvah, as if we did the other Machzis HaShekel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore contributes, by being Machshiv this, another Machzis HaShekel. And that becomes Truma Lashem. It means the Machzis HaShekel of a mitzvah that a person is Mekayim, And the second matzah shekel yoni is mekayim b'machshavah na b'maisa because of ishtokakus. That belongs really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who's giving that second matzah shekel. He's the one who is mitzarif machshavah tovah l'maisa. El sheberov rachma v'chasodov machshav HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu adam atzmo kiyam es ha-mitzvah tachshem. Even though it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu who plays the active role, as it were, elevating the second matzah shekel to the level of a matzah shekel, even though it's God's will and God's action, but nevertheless God says, it's, I consider it as if you gave the full shekel. So even though the ma'aseh mitzvahs were the matzah shekel, but really after we do the tikkun, and after we experience our cheshbon ha-nefesh, and we get to the level of ishtokikus, then even though the ma'aseh mitzvahs only on a Maxis HaShekel, it's really a Kiyuma Mitzvah on a full Shekel, and this reaches the level of HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. HaKadosh Baruch wants the Shirayim of the Zimra, he wants that Machshavah Neshtokukus that comes after the Zimra, the leftover part, that's going to be the most desirable part of a Mitzvah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in order for us to achieve kapara for the maxis rishon of the mitzvah that we didn't fulfill in the best way, we bring kaviyachol the second maxis hashekel, and that's going to be a true mal Hashem. That's going to elevate us. That's the maxis hashekel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings, and he's mashlim maxis hashekel through our shtokakus. And by adding together and combining these two halves, we make a whole. And that is the ultimate relationship, the marriage relationship of Chassan and Kala, the unity between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. Yiratzon, we should be zoche to fulfill not only the mitzvahs, but also the shtokakus for the kima mitzvah b'shleimus, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enter into this close marriage relationship with us, with each and every one of us, our family, and all of Kala Yisrael, Ken Yiratzon.
Amen. I have a question.
Yes, please, David. If I remember correctly from my readings, the Noda Yehuda was not a big fan of the Shem Yichud. The reason for that was because he felt. I don't think again he would object to anything that we've discussed, because I think that the Noda Yehuda would agree and admit that we have to always be honest and have this cheshbon nefesh and have this longing and love for the mitzvah that we could wish we could do for shleimus. That I don't think he would reject. There was a time period where the Noda Yehuda, in that particular historical context, he was opposed to the Shem Yichud because he felt that people were putting emphasis on, if you've ever read the Nefesh HaChaim, you'll know what I mean, on the impact of the mitzvah. In other words, our focus, says the Noda Yehuda, is on the obligation to do the mitzvah. This is the Ratzon Hashem, and that's it. The L'Shem Yichud would add some sort of an element of, you know what, our mitzvah, to Zayif, you know, what it accomplishes, what it impacts on the worlds, and moves worlds from here to here in the higher spheres. That the Noda Yehuda felt should be de-emphasized. The focus is on the ma'aseh.
Yes. I pulled out the Chassam Sofer Sagada, which happens to be here, and he has the Shem Yichud on, he has the Shem Yichuds on all the mitzvahs. By Nirza, it says, Im Asa Keseder Zeh Yiratzui Lefnei Hakel B'cheni Yiratzain B'chal M'kayim Mitzvahs Pesach Kehilchasai La'ad Aymedes Tzikasoi U'mogein Hashem Be'ezrosai Amen. So it's not a real Hashem Yichud, but it's like a half Hashem Yichud. It's very interesting.
It may be that some Sofer is implying that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the mitzvah b'shleimus Kehilchasa, and in all honesty, that's not necessarily what we achieved. It's by declaring that Hashem wants the mitzvah Kehilchasa, it's a kind of half Modem Victus Ataina.
But it's just funny because he has L'Shem Yichud, but by Nirza, he doesn't have L'Shem Yichud, but this is like a little tefillah, which is like L'Shem Yichud. It's fine.
And where does he put it? Before Nirza?
Yeah, right before Nirza.
Right before Nirza, yeah. Because the point of.
You talk about Shiare, Abayka Bashire Shiare. you know, by Hasidim, Shiraim is very kashuv.
Right.
So that's exactly, and it's the same idea that you're eating from the Rebbe to, you know, to complete
the kedushin. As the Rebbe was makadesh whatever he ate with the kedushin sachil l'shem shamayim, and now there's leftovers, and we have the opportunity now to makadesh those leftovers, those shirayim. But
he is like a representative of Kadosh Baruch Hu that he, when he eats, it's kedusha. And we take the shirayim because we also want to participate in that kedusha.
Right, right, absolutely. Okay, Rabbi Isai, this was the Shvilei Pinchas.